About a year ago, I started walking with my daughter, Catherine. She had to exercise for school. The school she was going to, cyber school, she had to have exercise, and I was doing it for phys ed. She had to have phys ed, and I was doing it for the exercise because I noticed that either walking or riding a bike would help my knee. I have arthritis in my knee, and that would help a lot. And as I was walking, after a while, you start noticing the clouds. And I think to myself, so I guess you have a clue what I'm talking about today. I would notice the clouds, and I think to myself, what kind of cloud is that? I don't know, because I don't even remember studying about clouds when I was in school. Does anybody remember that? Brian does. Brandon does. I don't. So I go home and I get the encyclopedia out and I look it up and I'd read about clouds and then I'd just go whatever I was doing and forget everything I'd read, go out the next day and think, well, what kind of cloud is that? What did I read about? So that started a thinking in my mind about clouds. So I just noticed, and you can turn there right now, Matthew 17, these scriptures just jumped out at me for that reason. This two section. I'm not sure when. I'm not sure if it was 6 months ago. I'm not sure when it was, but they just jumped out. So I'll start reading in chapter 17 of Matthew. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and his brother and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And when he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And I wonder, what did that cloud look like? My mind, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. Now, in Mark 9, there's a parallel to that. And also in Luke 9, there's a parallel to that. Luke 9 and verse 34 is interesting because it says, they feared as they entered into the clouds. So they had fear then. Then go to Acts chapter 1. And this was the other scripture I really noticed about the clouds. And I think I was reading this around Pentecost. So, however many days that is away, I can't find Acts. Acts chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in a like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he went up in a cloud, and he's going to return in a cloud. Well, just those two verses started wheels turning in my brain. You know, cloud. I wonder how many times clouds is in the Bible. Just wonder how many times it is. And it's in the King James, it's 162 times in 147 verses. So today I'm just going to give you a brief slideshow about clouds to start out with. And I'm going to look at some of the scriptures that where clouds are used in the Bible. So there's just not enough room on this. Clouds are or visible accumulation of water droplets or solid ice that float in the Earth's troposphere, the lowest part of the Earth's atmosphere. They move with the wind, and they're white veiled. If you can see them from above, they're white veils surrounding the planet. They're formed when water vapor evaporates, and then it rises up, and then it condenses, and it turns into either liquid water or solid ice, and it comes attached to dust particles or tiny particles floating in the air. And this happens when the warm and the cold air are converging in different ways, and because warm air will hold more moisture than cool air. So when warm air either comes in contact with cool air, you're going to get clouds being formed. There's prefixes and suffixes used to describe clouds. They're defined by both the ways they look and how high they are in the atmosphere. Cirro, that would be this, I can't find my mouse. That would be this high cloud here. That means wisp of hair in Latin. And the words are from Latin. Alto would be like the medium clouds at this section. And that means high. The cirro clouds are above 20,000 feet. The alto clouds, the ones that are in medium level, are between 6,000 and 20,000 feet. And there's really no prefix for the low clouds. Now, another suffix and prefix is used is nimbo. And that means rain. They're rain clouds. And cumulus is another prefix. And I believe that's used as a suffix too. But that would be the vertical clouds here. They have a sense of puffiness because that's what they mean, heap. Okay. So clouds are either classified as sheet-like layers or in their vertical way. Start out with low clouds. The low clouds would be like the fog, the nimbus stratus, the stratus, and the stratus cumulus. They're mostly composed of water droplets since their base generally lies below 6,500 feet. However, when the temperatures are cold enough, these clouds may contain particles of ice. Fog is just merely a cloud that's at ground level. And here's some examples of fog. And the next one we'll go to is stratus. They're low sheet-like clouds, as you can see over the mountains there. They're just down the sheet-like ones. Here's some more examples of stratus. And then nimbus stratus, they're very low-hanging rain clouds. And then stratus cumulus, they'd be stratus clouds that have a hint of puffiness, a hint of verticalness. So they'd be kind of puffy. They're stratus cumulus from above. Now, the intermediate clouds, which we'll get into next, they're the mid-level clouds, and they appear between 6,500 feet to 20,000 feet. And because of their low level, they're mostly composed of water droplets, but if it's cold enough, they can be ice crystals. Alto stratus is the first one, and these are basically when there's a bland sky. And if the term overcast is used, and it's otherwise it's a fair day, it's usually alto stratus. Alto cumulus is the next one. That's a high overcast with a hint of puffy structure. There's another alto cumulus. And cirrus, now we get into the high clouds. And that means wisp of hairs. I don't know if you were looking at the clouds on the way to services, but there were a tremendous amount of these this morning. And there's ice in them. They don't have any water vapor. Next one's, here's another cirrus, wisp of hair. Cirrostratus, they're thick, thicker and continuous enough to form a solid sheet is usually thinner and less opaque than the altostratus, and often they produce halos around the sun and the moon. I don't know if anyone was looking at the moon this week, but there were a couple times when there were, I don't remember the days, but there was a halo around the moon, and it would have been formed by these clouds. Here's a couple more examples of cirrostratus. And now we get into cirrocumulus. They're high clouds, and they have just a bit of puffy structure. They often form the They form a pattern nicknamed mackerel skies because they look like fish scales. And you can see that, how it looks like a fish scale in there. There's another picture of them. And then cumulus clouds. They're highly photogenic clouds and are identified by their vertical structure. Here's some more cumulus. In this picture, you can see some cirrus clouds mixed in with the cumulus. It's somewhat what it was like today, but there was a lot more cirrus clouds today. Here's another cumulus. Another one. There's a cumulus from above. And now the cumulus nimbus clouds. They're the most dramatic of the clouds. They're distinguished by their great vertical development and tendency to flare out into an anvil at the top. And if the anvil head is high enough, they'll form some cirrus clouds around them. This anvil head is from a storm that has already dissipated. Often the anvil head will be visible after the cumulus nimbus itself has disintegrated. And there's a couple more examples of those. Okay. I'm not sure what kind that is. That was taken down at the feast. I still have a hard time describing them. But Catherine took that at the feast. I think that was sunset. Not sure 100%. But anyway, in the Bible, there's a number of places it's mentioned, as I said before. But one thing the Bible shows is that God made clouds. So go to Job 38, verse 9. This is where God is talking to Job, and he's answering him out of a whirlwind, and he's saying, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world?" And then in verse 9, he said, "When I made the clouds, the garments thereof, and the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it." So at creation, God made the clouds. In Proverbs, I'm not going to turn there, but Proverbs 8:28, wisdom is being personified and says very much the same thing. The first mention of clouds in the Bible, where it uses the word cloud, is in Genesis 9. So let's go there. Genesis 9. And I'll read in verse 8 and 9. "And God spoke unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." And it goes on to say he established it with every living creature. And then down in verse 12, it says, "And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the clouds," so a rainbow is a sign of the covenant, it says, "and it is for you a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh," so there wouldn't be a flood ever again. "And the bow, at least, to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." So I have some pictures of rainbows here. Rainbows are really neat. There were some really beautiful pictures on the on the website, and I didn't mention that, but the information as far as on clouds, I got that from three websites. I ought to mention that. One was www.uwgb, which stands for the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. The other one was www.enchantedlearning.com. And the other one was from the University of Illinois. And the web address is just, I'm not even going to try to say it. It's just too many numbers and too many different words. So that's the first mention. This is another, not sure what kind of clouds there are, but this is another picture Catherine took at the feast. It just gives me a break to try to figure out where I'm at here. Pillar of clouds is mentioned a number of times in the Bible. I didn't cover that at all. I'm not going to even touch that, but that's a number of times in the first five books. Of course, clouds are associated with rain. Let's go to Zechariah 10. Zechariah 10, verse 1. Let me see where I'm at. Zechariah 10, verse 1. Ask you the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and shall give showers of rain to every one. Grass in the field will be as a result of the clouds. Last week, Jim was reading in Judges 5. So let's turn there. He's talking about how that was poetry, if I remember correctly. In verse 4, it says, Lord, when thou wentest out of Zer, when thou marchest out of the field of Eden, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped rain. So it's associated with rain. And it's an interesting thing we were reading in Jeremiah. Go to Isaiah 5. Because God can stop the rain. We're going through Jeremiah and we're reading about all the punishment and everything. That's one way God corrects people, by withholding rain. That's even mentioned in Zechariah 14, that Egypt won't go up to keep the feast. In verse 6 it says, I'll start in verse 3. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. And so God's talking about his vineyard down verse 6. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged. There shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. So that's one thing, that clouds provide rain. Another thing is they're very temporary. Job 7 mentions that. Job 7, verse 9, and the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. So it compares a cloud to someone that goes to the grave. And then in Job, and by the way, I'm pretty sure Job, I didn't actually check it again this morning, I did one day this week, but Job mentions clouds the most of any writer, other than where it has the pillar of clouds. But Job 30, verse 15, terror turned upon me, they pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. Job's welfare was passing away because of his illness. I think we can kind of appreciate that nowadays, the way the economy is. Our welfare is passing away pretty quickly, it seems. Now I have some... I'll be going through miscellaneous things. I just didn't know how to categorize or... put these down in a structure, but I call them miscellaneous scriptures. Again, Lamentations, go to Lamentations 3:44. As I said before, we've been reading through Jeremiah, and I believe it was myself that read two spots in Jeremiah where it said he told Jeremiah not to pray for the people. A horrible thing that you don't pray for someone that they're that bad and God won't hear their prayers. Well, Jeremiah is lamenting in Lamentations and talking about their sins and everything, but verse 44, it says, it's talking of God, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. So the prayers couldn't even pass through for some reason. I don't know if that happens to us sometimes or not, but and I don't know why. But for some reason, God's plan, he did it that way. And as we read in Jeremiah this week, he's going to bring all Israel back. He's going to bring them back and they're going to repent. So I thought that was interesting. The next one's Proverbs. This one I think is really interesting. The reason I think it's interesting is because it's almost quoted the same in the New Testament. Proverbs 25, verse 14. Whosoever boasts himself of false gifts is like clouds and winds without rain. So a boastful person is that way, if they're boasting of false gifts. I'm thinking of something that I don't want to say right now, so I'll have to tell my wife later and she'll laugh. But go to Jude. Yeah, go to Jude. Because this, the same things almost, Jude quotes, not that Jude quotes it, but he says almost the same thing. In Jude 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to condemnation, an ungodly man, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, it talks how God saved Israel out of Egypt. In verse 6, it talks about the angels that kept not their first estate. Verse 7, it deals with Sodom and Gomorrah. Then verse 8, it picks it up again. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers, those that had crept in unaware, defile the flesh, decide dominion. Then in verse 9, it talks about Michael and the devil disputing for the body of Moses. And then verse 10, it picks up about those that crept in unaware. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsay of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water. They are clouds without water, carried about the wind. And I didn't mention it, at least I don't think I mentioned it when I gave my talk on Matthew and quotes out of the Old Testament. The more I study the Old and New Testament, the more I see they are so linked together, it's incredible. It's just astounding to me. Okay, Revelation 10, listen. Verse 1. This is quite a word picture here about a cloud. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. This angel was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of cloud. What a word picture to me. And just over a couple verses, in chapter 11, it talks about the two witnesses. Verse 3, it says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 2,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. And verse 7 mentioned that, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast descended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And then verse 11, it says, after they're dead, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And he stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to the heavens in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So They're resurrected. Apparently, first resurrected, they're resurrected first. Apparently, from that scripture. Now, one more in the category of miscellaneous. Isaiah 44. And again, this I find really interesting, since we're going through Jeremiah and all the doom and gloom and, you know, punishment that goes on. It says, verse 21, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, as a cloud thy sin. Return unto thee, for I have redeemed thee." And just incredible how God can give all that punishment, but it's to turn Israel around. It's to bring them around to repent. And he's redeemed them. They're already in, he's given Christ's life for them to be redeemed. So the process is always ready in motion. There's clouds are associated with God's character in Psalms, at least in the King James. Psalms 36, I believe it is. Yeah, 36 verse 5. There's other translations that don't have clouds in it. They might have the sky or something. And I found at least a few that were that way. I did my study in the King James, so I really didn't change it because of that. Verse 5 in Psalm 36. "For thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." God's faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. It's something when you try to picture that. And then Psalm 57, verse 10 is very similar. "For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." It's just incredible to me. And then Psalm 68, 34. This is a pretty astounding one to me, too. "Ascribe you strength unto God, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds." I was watching a video. We're actually almost falling asleep to the video this morning that deals with rain. And the man just mentioned that in the atmosphere, it wasn't really about clouds, but the power in the atmosphere that's generated from the atmosphere in a single day is more than mankind can generate in a year. And when you get into like hurricanes and things like that, it's the power is just tremendous. It's just incredible. So God's strength is in the clouds. Okay. Now, the rest of what I'll be talking about is clouds are associated when God comes near to mankind. Many times. So we'll start in Exodus 19 in this section. Exodus 19, verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear what I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words unto the people." Down in verse 16 it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, the voice of the trumpets exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." It must have been something scary to see. Can't imagine it right. Deuteronomy 4 basically says the same thing, only that's talking about when the Ten Commandments were given. I won't go there. Let's go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24, and I'll pick it up in verse 15. "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord." This is another thing that I didn't include all these, but the glory of the Lord is associated with the clouds a lot of times. I just didn't include them all today. "And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and 7 days he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a divine fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So he went into the midst of the cloud. In Numbers 11 is when God gives the Spirit to the 70 elders. And in verse 24, I'll start. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sat them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spoke unto him, and took the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Psalm 18, verses 11 and 12 is when, and it's also recorded in 2 Samuel. That's when David is, I'll turn there. Let's just go there. Psalm 18. David's praising God for him being his strength, his rock, his high tower, his fortress, his deliverer, his salvation. He's saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, in verse 1. And then in verse 10, he talks about, at least metaphorically, about how God helped him. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, if not literally, I don't know. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, in verse 11. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick cloud passed, hailstones and coals of fire. So that's how David described him helping him. In Psalms 97, this is a millennial scripture. Psalm 97, verse 1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. So clouds are associated with God when he's dealing with man. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Psalm 104:3. I found it interesting today. I didn't, forgot to mention it, but I had it written down when we were doing the song. Three of the songs we sang in the beginning mentioned either clouds or skies. Song 52 did, Song 125, and we actually sang in Song 125. It was based on Psalm 140, 104. Let me read here, Psalm 104:3. Who layeth the beams of his chambers of water, who maketh the clouds his chariot. So here God at least has David record, I believe David wrote that the clouds are his chariot, and he walketh upon the winds of the wings of the wind. And now here's another section, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 7, where God's presence is in the cloud. This is when, right before they dedicated the temple, this is when the priests were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the holy place. In verse 7 in 2 Chronicles 5. And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, and to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Now verse 11. And it came to pass that the priests would come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthah, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding the trumpets. This must have been something to see. And it came to pass that the trumpeters and singers were at one. So they were all on key. The instruments and everything were on key. It must have been astounding to hear. I heard him praising and thanking God. And when he lifted up their voice with the trumpet, the cymbals, the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. But then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. So for whatever reason, they couldn't minister because of that cloud. It's also mentioned in the clouds are mentioned in the day of the Lord. I won't go to those scriptures, but they're in Ezekiel 30 and Zephaniah 1. And they're also in Joel. I didn't write them down. Clouds are definitely associated with Christ's return. So I want to go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Verse 13. And I saw in a night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So when Christ, and then there was given to him dominion, glory, and kingdoms, verse 14, that all people, nation, and languages should serve him, his dominion is everlasting dominion. So when Christ returns, it's going to be associated with clouds. Go to Revelation 1, verse 7. And it's Revelation 1, verse 7. It says, behold, he cometh with the clouds. It's talking of Christ. And every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And it's, I'll go to Revelation 14 also. 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat. This is almost the same as Daniel. One sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So it's associated with Christ's return. Now I want to go to the next slide. These scriptures you don't need to turn to. You can if you want to, but I'm just going to read them right here. The first three scriptures have to do with the Olivet prophecy in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The last two scriptures, the one in Matthew 26 and Luke 14, they deal with Christ talking to the high priest. So I'll just read them, and then I'll explain to you why I'm reading these. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Luke 21. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. And that's the reason I started looking at these scriptures, because it's different. Why is it a cloud? And I don't have the answer to that, but I'll show you something a little later that I found interesting in these scriptures. With power and great glory. Matthew 26, and Jesus said unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark 14, and Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So it appears that he's coming in the clouds by those verses. I'm going to give you a little bit of a Greek lesson. This is a configuration of the prepositions in Greek. And there's three words we'll be interested in here. This one up here, where my arrow is at, is epi, or ep. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. And it means upon. It means upon. In other words, if this was a house, you would use epi to say, the person's on the roof, upon the roof. And then the next word is, I lost my mouth, is this one in the middle, in. It means in. It literally means if you're in the house, you're inside the house. Now the next one we're interested in is this in here, meta. That means with or after. In this case, what we'll be looking at, it means with. So it means somehow attached here. Or at least with. So let's go to the next slide here. I'll explain this, why I did that. In Matthew 24 and in Matthew 26, Matthew uses the Greek word epi, which is 1909 in Strong's Concordance. And that means upon. So You could say, they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven, or on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, in both those verses. In Mark 13:26 and Luke 27, the words "and," it's strong 17:22. So when those two writers are talking there, they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And then in Mark, and it's interesting, Mark uses a little different word, Greek word in Mark 14. He uses meta, coming, it could be translated, and coming with the clouds of heaven. So those scriptures to me give a little bit, he's coming upon, he's coming with, and he's coming in the clouds. And what that's going to be like, I want to be there, I want to see it. Okay. Now, I'm almost done. We'll be turning to 1 Thessalonians 4 when I'm done with these slides. These I took during this week just to show you a comparison of what happened in a week's time with the clouds. And they were different every day. I believe these would be stratus cumulus, I think. I'm not going to say because I get confused at them. This one cloud here, this one. That's what I picture Christ returning on a cloud like that. I don't know what it'll be, but that's what I picture it as. And these were all taken Sunday. Now I get into Monday. The reason I took these is it had the cirrus clouds. I don't know. I would be willing to think if we'd open the blinds, you'd be able to see some cirrus clouds out there because they were all over the place today. There's some cirrus clouds there. And there's a contrail. I didn't mention that. And these, by the way, these aren't all the different clouds that I mentioned. They're just a few of them. There's other types of clouds. Tuesday, there was no clouds when I went to take a picture. I took them all about the same time, except 2 days I took them in the morning. Wednesday morning, there were cirrus clouds here, and my camera didn't quite pick it up, but it was really a beautiful sunrise. I didn't actually get to see the sunrise. I can't tell if that's too dark. Is that too dark on the screen, or can you see the cirrus clouds there? You can't see them. The moon's there. So I can see them on here. I think we have a... should have adjusted the contrast. There was some cirrus clouds there Wednesday. Thursday, it was just overcast when I went out. It looked like it was going to rain, and as far as I know, it never rained. Then it broke up a little bit about a half an hour later when I went out. Friday looked like this, and they were on the horizon, and then they started to break up a little bit after I walked a little while. Here's some more Friday. And then this morning, there were cirrus clouds there. It was really neat this morning, I thought. There's some cirrus clouds there. There's some more. There's some cirrus clouds. You can't see that very good the way it looks from here, but it's amazing how good your eyes are that they can see the moon and you can't pick it up with the, at least not the camera I have, but the moon's right there. Okay. Now I want to go to concluding. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians because I think this is the most exciting for us about clouds. I get excited when I read this scripture. Well, who knows what happened there? Oh, I know. There. I hit a button, it does something. Okay. 1 Thessalonians, trying to get there, verse 4. Or chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So whichever category we're in, whether we're dead or whether we're still alive when Christ returns, we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I wish I could burn those scriptures into my brain. I wish I had them burnt in, especially when I go through trials and problems and I'm discouraged. If I could just bring those scriptures up to encourage me, it would be a wonderful thing. Hopefully someday that happens. But for us, it's so exciting to think about seeing Christ in the clouds returning and being there, and what kind of joy we'll have and be able to rejoice at that.